It's good to see all of you this evening. Hope everybody's had a pretty good week. Good to see y'all in the Lord's house this evening. Turn to the book of Ruth, where we'll be starting our study in the book of Ruth, chapter 1. We'll be starting there. I'll mention her in a few moments, but Sister Linda White is very sick tonight, very sick. So we'll mention her again in prayer. But let's be, as we turn to the Lord in prayer, let's be praying for Sister Linda, very, very sick. So we want to make sure that we send prayers our way. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we love you tonight, and we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house once again. Lord, we pray for each one that's here tonight. I pray that you'll touch each heart that's here. I pray, God, for those that are watching, I pray that you'll help them. I pray for our children next door, God. I pray that you'll be with them. I pray that I know the gospel's being presented, and I pray, God, that you will move over there, and I pray that some of those children and young people that do not know you as their Savior, they've not trusted you as their Savior, they will tonight. I pray, God, you'll have your way. Bless in this study as we study this book here in the book of Ruth. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Ruth chapter 1, we're going to read the first 7 verses. Let me make sure I'm right on that. First 7 verses, yeah. But look in verse number 1. Actually, go to the last verse in the book of Judges. You should be right there on the, probably, if it's like mine, it's the next page. You say, why is that important? Because it's very important. The last verse in the book of Judges says this: in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. I can't tell you how many times that's in there, but it's in there a lot. Yes. Now go to verse 1 of chapter 1 in the book of Ruth. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judea, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his 2 sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, which means my God is king. And the name of his wife was Naomi, which means pleasant. The name of his 2 sons, Mahlon and Chilion, which means sick and pining. Of Bethlehem, Judea. We'll just move right on. Remember, C in grammar. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. In verse 3, and Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her 2 sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. Orpah means hind or fawn, and then Ruth means friendship or beauty. Those are important. And they dwelled there about 10 years, and Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her 2 sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her 2 daughters-in-law with her, and they went on their way to return to the land of Judea. These events that we're going to be studying in the book of Ruth, happening right after the book of Judges. Now, a lot of times in the Word of God, the books that follow books aren't in succession, if you know what I mean. This is happening during the time of Judges. We'll do a study in the book of Judges. It's a very hard, dark book. Very hard and dark. But yet in Judges, this time, it says that in those days there was no king in Israel. You have to go back to the beginning of Judges, when the great Joseph died. He was their you know, the prime minister of Egypt. After he died and all those things happened, then we have Judges. It's a very hard book. So I just want you to understand that during this time is where we are here in our study. The book of Ruth is a harvest story. I'm going to read some things I've copied down here from one of my studies in the book of Ruth. Now, we're not certain exactly how Ruth fits into history in the book of Judges, but it's possible that the famine was caused by the ravages of the invading armies. Now, there's 2 books in the Bible named after women, Ruth and Esther. God has never mentioned in either one of them. Very interesting. But while the immediate purpose of this book is to trace the ancestry of David the king, there's a whole lot of spiritual truths. We're going to hear about Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. We're going to learn about all these things. And Ruth became an ancestress to the Messiah. We're going to see all of these things in this book that's less than 100 verses. Practical lessons. I want to give you these things before we go into our study of these seven verses. Many lessons that we can learn. No matter how difficult your situation is, the Lord is right there if we surrender and obey Him. He'll see us through. We'll see that as we go through this study. No person is so far outside the reach of God's grace that he or she cannot be saved. Ruth had everything against her, but the Lord saved her. We'll see that. God providentially guides those who want to obey Him and serve others. Because Ruth was so concerned for Naomi, God led her and brought her into a life of happiness. We'll see that. There are no small decisions with God. Ruth's decision that we'll see later, which is one of my favorite parts of the study, of her gleaning in the fields, we'll see that it was very important. It will all that. There's a lot of details that we'll go through, but the details are important. So I encourage you to read this book. Read it through several times. Read it, and read it again, and we're going to learn some things. Here's some things about Ruth. W.G. Heslop says this: the book of Ruth consists of less than 100 verses, yet it would be impossible to exhaust it during a lifetime of a minister preaching it every single Sunday. This book, this small book here, there are scenes that are tragic, domestic, romantic, dramatic, historic, and prophetic. Yet each scene is filled with precious gems. Now, it's kind of like a play, if you will. This is the opening scene. We're going to look at three things, and I've titled this one, The Graves of Moab, The Graves in Moab. Number one, their departure from the Lord. In verse number one, it says, it came to pass that when the judges ruled, the word now here, it says now, it connects this book with the previous book. I want y'all to understand. And I'm probably within a few weeks, we're going to do some messages on reading the Bible. There's more to just reading the Bible. You have to read it for how it's written. Poetry, you read it as poetry. Historical, you read it as historical. But there's little things that you can point out that, you know, you may have never been told. And I was taught that word now, though, it connects Judges and Ruth. Said there was an absence in the ruler of the land. There was no ruler. So here we are in the book of Ruth. They have a lot of things going on. But when the King of Kings is not ruling, there'll be no righteousness. No righteousness. So the result of this tragic condition that we're seeing here is famine. You know what famines are in the Bible? Most of the time, famines were a sign of displeasure and chastisement upon the nation of Israel. God had said, and then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up heaven, and there be no rain, that the land yield not her fruit, lest you perish quickly off the good land which the Lord gives you. That's in Deuteronomy 11:17. The famine revealed here, and you got to get this, the famine revealed that there had been a national departure from God. Israel, in the book of Judges, was up and down. They'd get away from God. God would say, I'm done with you. He'd bring up a judge. Mess up, I'm done with you. He'd bring up another judge. This happened over and over and over again. Listen to me. Our country is fast approaching that. Fast approaching that. Just beware. But in these opening verses here, some interesting things are taking place. There's a departure from the Lord. Ruth, in the opening verses here, we see a husband and a wife named Elimelech, Naomi, and their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. Very tragic. Now that name Elimelech, I pointed out, means my God is king. This is a reminder to us, or it points out to us, that he is somebody that had served God, had lived for God. But now something's changing here. Something's taking place. Something's going on. That word Naomi means pleasant. We're going to see her throughout the book, and that word fits her name. But let's look at where they were leaving. Y'all with me? This is more teaching than it is preaching, so I'm going to stay right here, try to stay close to the text and close to the word, so if I don't make a whole lot of eye contact, I can't see anyway. If I got my glasses, y'all are just blurry anyway. So if y'all were right here, I could see you just fine. Where they were leaving, the place in verse number one, notice in your text, keep your Bibles there with you, Bethlehem, Judea. Their home was the town of Bethlehem in the country of Judea. That name Bethlehem means house of bread. Judea means praise. So they were leaving the house of bread. They were leaving the house of bread for a garbage can. What's Moab mean? Moab is garbage. That's what Moab means. Moab means garbage. Moab is my garbage can. They were leaving the house of bread for the garbage can. They were leaving the land of plenty for God's wash pot. Psalm 108:9, we find an interesting description that it's referred to Moab as his wash pot. Very interesting. Moab was a very short distance from Bethlehem, very short distance, yet the River Jordan stood between them. So picture that in your mind, the River Jordan standing between them. The Moab side of Jordan represents the natural man. The other side of Jordan represents God. Notice in verse 1 again, it says they went to sojourn in Moab. They came into the country of Moab. In verse 2, notice, very important when you read to point little things out, it says they sojourned in verse 2, that says they continued there. Very last part of verse 2, and continued there. Very interesting. They continued. They came into this country and continued. Their original plans were just to be there for a few moments, a few days, if you will, but they left. Little by little, you can watch people get out of God's will. Little by little, you can see somebody miss a service. You can see somebody. I've said this before, but somebody that I know, and if I'm not going to mention his name because it doesn't matter, but at one time he led the singing at our church at Sequoia. And then he was a deacon. Then he went from the front row to the middle to the back. Sorry, y'all in the back. Then he went out the door and he quit coming. Yeah, you all right, Connie? That choked her up. Y'all started in the back. Well, it's only good, it's only positive from there. But you all have been in church. Leave it to Connie. You all have been in church long enough where you see when people gradually. What happened to so-and-so? They hadn't been here in 4 weeks. He hadn't been here in 6 weeks. This is what happens in churches, and then we come to Middle Cross and things happen here. So we got Connie back there getting choked up. You all right? All right, good. I saw you today at the cleaners. The place they were leaving. Now let's look at the place where they were living. It said it sojourned into the country of Moab. I've already pointed out that we find it was the wash pot. They were leaving the house of bread for a garbage can. They were leaving the land of praise for garbage. I've mentioned all that. And we see there that gradually, they started slipping. We see that they not only settled in Moab, but they took their family with them. It says they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah. The name of the other was Ruth, and they dwelled there 10 years. Now, and look at verse 4, very, very important. They took of them wives, the women of Moab, the name of Orpah, and the name of Ruth, and they dwelled there 10 years. This is very important because This was strictly forbidden. You didn't take marriage among the pagan nations. It was forbidden by God. The parents' departure only led further departure in their children. What happens when you bring sin in the house? It affects the children. It affects everybody around you. Many children have been left out in the cold because of their parents. So we see the departure from the Lord. Then we see the discipline by the Lord. Just as an earthly father will discipline his disobedient child, God will discipline his disobedient children. Amen. Hebrews talks about the process of God's discipline. First, he tells us that God chastens his children. That word speaks of child training. It's like a parent teaching you right from wrong. I'll give you, for instance, this week, I've done two funerals this week. One funeral, I was up there doing my thing, and there was these two little guys, 4 and 8, in their suits. I mean, they looked great. They had their hair sticked down. They were helping load the casket up. You know, in their mind, they were well-behaved. I did one today. They were running all over the chapel. The first funeral, when the kids were behaving, everybody sat there and listened to everything I had to say. Today, while I was up there sharing thoughts, and I didn't even know who their mother was, I was just asked to do the funeral, people were just talking like it was a restaurant. We were just having a conversation. And at the graveside, there was an old boy eating a sausage biscuit. You see the difference? You see what I'm talking about? You see this one family, and that's the way we're raising some children, not my children, but some children are being raised. I remember the very first time that I told Caleb, no, I cried harder than he did. Now it doesn't bother me. I should say no a lot more to that boy, but it doesn't bother me. But discipline, Daryl talked about it Sunday night. Discipline is important, not in just the home, but it's important because God will discipline. In verse number 2, we find the sons, and I pointed out their names, Mahlon, sickly, ill, unhealthy. Chilon or Chilon means pining, wasting away, or puny. It would appear that Elimelech and Naomi had begun to drift from God in their hearts before they ever left Bethlehem, Judea. A departure from God always begins long before you see it. When you see somebody depart from God, it's happened long time ago. Long time ago. And when you get that set in your mind, when you get that set, that's what happens. That's what happens. They begin to drift. Discipline is getting ready to take place. We see the fatal acts of discipline. First, God chastens us. That doesn't get our attention. He scourges us. Look in verse 3. Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. Looking down in verse 5, and Mahlon and Chilon died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. We had three graves here. The dad and the two boys died. You're saying, God? Yeah. They left the house of bread. They moved to the garbage dump. They stayed in the garbage dump. They watered in the garbage dump. And guess what happened? The father died and the two children died. Listen to me. Sin's serious. If it wasn't so serious, why do I keep preaching on it week after week? I wish y'all would act like somebody so I wouldn't have to preach on it so much. I get up here preaching on sin and y'all looking at me like, Sin is serious. Sin is real. And when you bring it into your home, we read one reading in Joshua. Was it today, Beverly, we read Joshua? Yesterday? I don't know. We read Joshua about Achan. Achan brought it to the house. Buried it. When they came looking house by house by house by house and they found it, guess what they did? They stoned him, his wife, his kids, and everything else. Sin is serious. And we find it here that there was fatal acts of discipline. Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, said, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." Paul was saying that because of sins and certain sins, many had been disciplined by God. Whenever a Christian gets out of the house of God and out of the will of God, God will discipline them. I have talked with countless people. One I'm thinking of in particular, God disciplined him. God took his daughter. Now, it wasn't my place to say that, and it wasn't the lady at church's place to say that either, who told him that God killed your daughter because you're out of church. No, that was not her place to say that. The pastor took care of her. But God got his attention. God will get your attention. God will get your attention. If you're living in sin, God will get your attention. So we see the fatal acts of discipline. And number three, the desire for the Lord. There we have these three widows. It says, look in verse number six. "Then she," this is Naomi, "with her daughters-in-law, rose that she might return from the country of Moab. She had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she sent forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return into the land of Judea." They were left in Moab, three lonely, grieving widows. No doubt as Naomi walked to the cemetery, she probably thought, "Why did I leave Bethlehem, Judea? Why did we ever get out of God's house? Why did we ever get out of God's will?" She no doubt recalled the days when her and her family gathered and served the Lord together. When we read, "Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that they might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard how the country of Moab and how the Lord had visited his people there, giving them bread." She heard how God was blessing the people there. The famine was over. People were getting back to God. We see here Naomi's repentance. It's interesting how you look at this. You look at this text, and you're going to see this throughout this book. Every verse is so vital. But it's not just that she returned to Bethlehem, Judea. But we read that she returned from the country of Moab. She was turning her back on Moab. She was leaving Moab. It's one thing to say, I would say Jimmy Swaggart, but some of y'all might like Swaggart, but stands on TV and says, "I'm sorry." And then just a little while later, gets called again. Not about saying you're sorry. We've said for years with our kids, our boys, sorry doesn't fix things. It's one thing to say, "Lord, I'm sorry I've sinned." Naomi was sorry, but she turned her back on that old life. Repentance is when you're walking one way, which is the wrong way. You stop, you turn around, and you go back the other way. That's true repentance. Repentance is not just, it's Wednesday, I ain't supposed to be preaching this hard. Repentance is not just saying, "I'm sorry." Sorry is good. You should say you're sorry when you mess up. Sure you should. But repentance is what's not happening in our churches. Preachers get out and do whatever and go and do whatever and act crazy. But they just keep them in the pulpit because they stood behind the pulpit and they said, "They're sorry." Listen to me. When you and I, all of us, when we get in a sin in our life, we have to come to the place where we can not just say, "I'm sorry," but turn around and walk the other way. I've been there. I know what it's like when you've disappointed everybody around you. You've committed, you've done these things, and you have to stop, turn around, and go back the right way. Because see, the devil, if you're continually going his way, you can sit in here every Sunday and sing "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." But the whole time, your life is a miserable pig pen. living in sin. This is where we are. Naomi turned around. Her true repentance, she turned around. We see Naomi's return. It says, wherefore, she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. They went on their way to return to the land of Judea. She returned to the place of blessing. She returned to the will of God. She leaves Moab, and she goes back home. That old song says, I've wandered far away from God, but now I'm coming home. The path of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. It could be that when you read this, when you see this, you're thinking, that's my story. You may be watching tonight and you say, preacher, that's my story. Yeah, but your story hasn't changed. You haven't turned around yet. You haven't repented of your sins and said, Lord, I'm repenting. I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins. 1 John 1:9 is still in the Bible, written to Christians, if we. John wrote that. When he wrote that book, he's writing it to believers. He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is written to Christians. That's not written to unbelievers. That's written to believers. If we, John would not say we if it was written to anybody else. Y'all hearing me? There comes a place in our life when we get so involved and so just down in sin that we have to stop like Naomi did. And say, you know what? I'm leaving Moab. I'm taking the rearview mirror off of my car. I'm throwing it in the trash, and I'm going, and I'm not looking back. I'm going back home. There's still a place. There's still a place. I refer to the prodigal son a lot. The prodigal son took everything that was coming to him. Basically said, Dad, to me you're dead. I want my part. Dad gave him his part. He went off and lived a wild and crazy life, riotous living, wound up in a pig pen. But guess who was waiting on him in the driveway? The same. That's a perfect picture of the Lord Jesus welcoming someone that's been out a long time. I've seen things. You've seen things. You've seen people come back to the Lord after they've been gone away a long time. And the Lord hasn't moved. The Lord hasn't gone anywhere. That dad was watching him for him day and night, day and night. And that prodigal son repented of his sins. Ruth, we're going to see as we go through, it's important to catch these first seven verses. You got to catch it. You got to see that really Naomi started this process. And we're going to see how important her repenting, her going back home. And I'm not going to tell you, you can read up. Now you can read ahead. I'm not going to give you any spoilers on what happens next. But we're going to see two go and the other one go back. You're going to see that as you read. I'd encourage you to read it. We'll be in the last, let's see, 8 through 18. But I want you to get it, understand it, read it. I want you to follow with us as we go through this book. I'm excited about Ruth. I've talked through it. I've preached through it a bunch of times, and I never, ever get tired of it. So let's bow our heads for prayer. Maybe you're here tonight, and the Lord has spoke to your heart about something. I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. There's a place for you. God hasn't forgot you. God hasn't neglected you. But there will come a time when you keep running and running like Daryl preached about Jonah. He did not want to go to Nineveh. He hated those people at Nineveh. And it was understandable because they were wicked people. But God said, go. And he did not. And a lot of problems happened for old Jonah. What about you tonight, friend? You're sitting here, right there at your seat. You just pray. Say, Lord, I know I've messed up. If you're watching, I know I've messed up. But there's a place to start over. But we have to understand there will be consequences to sin. There will be consequences. That's what's wrong a lot of times. There's not consequences in our homes. There will be consequences with God. The Bible verse says, and it's not legend, it's not an old wives' tale. The Bible says, you will reap what you sow. My mama used to tell me that all the time. You will reap what you sow. You sow good things, you'll reap good things. You sow bad things, you'll reap bad things. Right there where you're sitting tonight, you pray and ask the Lord. Whatever's on your heart, whatever need is there, you pray and ask the Lord to help you. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for Ruth. We thank you for Naomi. We hadn't even really been introduced to Ruth yet. We haven't even saw what this is going to do with Ruth. But Lord, we thank you for Naomi. After seeing her two sons die, her husband die, she realized and understood, I need to go back. I need to go back. I need to leave this place and go back. God, there's so many people that need to turn around and go back to you. You haven't went anywhere. You haven't left the building. You're still there. You're still with us. You'll always be with us. And I just pray, God, that you speak to hearts as we go through this study. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for your blessings. Have your way. In Jesus' name, I pray these things. Amen.